Welcome to The Fighting Priests, a podcast exploring orthodoxy and jiu-jitsu, two paths, one struggle. Father Ted Periskevopoulos and Father Thomas Sandberg are two orthodox Christian priests who also happen to be practitioners of jiu-jitsu. Together, they explore how these two unique worlds intersect and what it means for our spirituality. Here's Father Ted and Father Thomas. Welcome, everybody, back to The Fighting Priests. My name is Father Ted Periskevopoulos, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Father Thomas Sandberg. Father, how's it going?
Okay. How are you?
I'm okay. On this beautiful day, it's sunny and warm here in Toronto. I don't know. How's the weather up there in Niverville?
It is hot. I was going to say something else, but it's hot. It's going to be like 37 tomorrow or the next day.
That's good. That's good. So, it's warm. So at least we can get out and exercise a bit and maybe do a little running. And so that's nice. We are visiting, at least virtually, a country we haven't visited yet, which is Bulgaria, which is a neighbor to my homeland of Greece, just north, our friends to the north. And we have a very special guest with us today. His name is Ivan Milchev. He is a black belt under Rodrigo Cavaca. He is in Bulgaria. I'm going to butcher the name, so you're going to have to help me, Ivan, with this, right? It's
Blagoevgrad. Blagoevgrad, yes.
Blagoevgrad, okay.
Yes.
Not the easiest name to say.
Not.
And Ivan is the head instructor at his club, which is called Ipon Zenith, correct?
Correct, yes.
Yeah, and he's been, he has quite an extensive history of martial arts. Before he did BJJ, he did 15 years of Sambo and Judo. And he has also been doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu for 11 years. We're really happy to have you. Ivan, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's an honor for me also.
How is everything in Bulgaria? Like, how's the? We were talking before about how you guys never really shut down as far as training.
Yeah, actually we have a little bit shut down, but maybe for 2-3 weeks. If you are a member of the sports federation, like we are, my team is a member of the MMA federation, so the guys who compete, it's okay for them to train. But little kids and. Maybe some guys who come here for the, is not competing at a tournament, for them there is a lockdown.
Yeah.
But we're still training.
That's good.
We find out.
Because in Greece, they shut down completely. I know the clubs hadn't opened for over a year. And they were able.
Also in North Macedonia is the same, I think. Mm-hmm. Also like that. Is there. But in Bulgaria, we have a, very, not so big a deal with this coronavirus. We also have a sick people, but we are a small country, so we take care of the hospital. Good problem.
Good. Yeah. Well, unfortunately, we've had it much harder here, and we are in the middle. We're coming out of hopefully mm-hmm. the last lockdowns here, at least in Canada, and we're hoping by the end of the summer that training will start and the clubs will open again. So this is what we're hoping for. This podcast, this episode is not going to air until August anyway. So hopefully by then when this airs, we'll be back to kind of somewhat of regular training.
Normal.
I hope so. We'll see. That's good. So we're very happy to have you. Today we're going to be talking a little bit about not only your own BJJ experience, but something we haven't spoken about on the show before, which is kind of like the crossover between Sambo and BJJ, because we've noticed interviewing some of our friends from not only Greece, but, you know, Eastern Europe, that a lot of guys who have been in Eastern Europe have trained Sambo either at the same time, but, or before, and Judo. And you have an extensive background there. So we look forward to talking to you about that history and how it's influenced your BJJ career as well. So Ivan, so tell us a little bit about yourself. Give us a little bit about your background, you know, where you were born, like, you know, where you grew up, your family, like, are you married? Do you have kids? Like, tell us a little bit about how you grew up in Bulgaria.
Well, I grew up in the city named Blagoevgrad. I hate this name also, and it's the name of the ex-communist leader, something like this. They all want to change it, so I hate it. But first 10 years of my life, I was growing under the Communist Republic of Bulgaria. And it's maybe most of us, we were very poor, but I have really good childhood, very pure childhood. So I start with the swimming, training with swimming. Then I go to karate after the changes here in Bulgaria. And 2 years I train karate, Kyokushin. After that, I go to Sambo. One of my friends come say, hey, man, let's go sign for Sambo. I didn't know what is this, man. Mm-hmm. But I go to a gym and from there, one training to another.
And can you tell?
I love this story.
Sorry to interrupt, but for our audience who may not know, can you explain what Sambo is? Because a lot of people don't know what that is.
Sambo is something like a mix from judo and wrestling. And maybe it's basically like Brazilian jiu-jitsu old style. You have everything. You have, because in judo now, some of the guys, they don't know, but the rules, they change the rules.
Yeah,
you can touch the leg when you're fighting, like something like this. But the Sambo is more open, like you fight a little bit lower, not so tall. It's the old Russian, maybe one century from now. It's martial arts that they create something like this, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They mix from judo and wrestling and Kazakh wrestling, something like that.
Mm-hmm. So how old were you?
It's a lot of submission there also. Mm.
So how old were you when you started Sambo?
Maybe 14 years old, 14, 15 years old, I was started Sambo. And with Sambo, we also go to competition in judo. So they're basically on that level, there was the same rules, not so different. Not the same, but not so different rules. So if you find in Sambo, you easily can fight in judo.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But in jiu-jitsu, we don't know what is this man back then.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. And do
actually,
you have
it's a funny, you know, I go maybe in 95 in France to the world competition of Sambo, and there is a guy from Brasilia, and one of our guys has to fight with them, and they make him submission. For us, this was incredible submission, something like crawling each other, and the Brazilian guy broke our guy the shoulder after maybe 10, 15 years. And when I started training Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, this is on for what actually, but we didn't know what is this kind of submission is. So it's interesting, yeah.
Wow.
Experience.
Wow.
Yeah.
So then you grew up doing Sambo and Judo, and are you married? Do you have a family?
Yeah, I'm married. Happy married. I have two kids, two boys. One is seven now. And the other one is 14 years old.
Oh, wow. Okay.
They fight. Yeah.
Do they train?
Oh, boy. Yeah, yeah. Both of them are champion here in the Bulgaria.
Oh, wow.
But they fight, yeah.
Very good. What about your wife? Does she train at all or no?
No, she's not that kind of person.
Nobody's wives train. I don't know why.
I don't know. She never trained. I actually said that Aikido is good for her. She go there maybe a couple of times, but no, she's not that kind of person.
Okay, that's all right. That's all right. So you have a club there, Ippon Zenith.
Yes, exactly. Ippon Zenith. Yeah.
How long have you had the club there? Like when did you start?
Maybe 12 years from now. Yeah, 12 years. We start basically with MMA and Sambo. After that, I meet Christoph and Lumir Gejev. These are Bulgarian guys. One of them was a referee in the ADCC. He go to Abu Dhabi, train there a lot. And they show me what is Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. But Shambu and judo guy, when they pull guard, it's something ridiculous to me. So it's basically in the first impression of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, it not impressed me so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you saw them on their backs, and you're like, what are they doing?
Yeah, it's very strange how we go to the cross guard. We start from open. So it's very, very strange for me. After that, I go to seminars, competition. I really like it because I was then 20 or maybe 28 years old, and I have a lot of injuries. Mm-hmm. So basically, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu was perfect for me.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And then we start to do Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Mm-hmm.
When did you, so you started the club 12 years ago. Did you start it by yourself or with somebody else?
Well, we did, me, I was the leader of the grappling sports, and other guys, they're leading the kicking and punching. There was the taekwondo guy with me. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So we combined together. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When did you get connect with Roberto Cavaca, your instructor?
Yeah, we... Maybe 2011, I think, we can connect with Cavaca. He come here in Bulgaria, maybe twice a year. We make seminars. We, and a very good seminars, maybe 5-10 days training. So he showed me the basic and what is used to it.
Mm-hmm. So he's the one that kind of promoted you through the belts?
Yeah, he was the one. Because I was a judo black belt and sambo competition, I have to start with the blue belt.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Because it's not fair to fight in the white belt division when you have a bad ground. Yeah,
a lot of competition won't let you. Yeah.
Because we go to Abu Dhabi World Pro and I fight in blue belt directly. So basically, I start from blue belt. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, that's what a lot of people do usually when they're coming back. Like even in our club, like if you have a black belt judoka come in, right? They might test them out a bit, but most of them get, if not promoted directly to blue belt, they get promoted very quickly because they have a lot of, they tend to have, not all, but most have a lot of the fundamentals down already.
Yeah, they kill the basic.
Yeah, it's not like that everywhere, but in a lot of places, that's what they do.
It depends on the school, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So how many, well, before COVID, well, actually, you know what, you never shut down, so it doesn't make a difference. But how big is your club? Like, do you have, you haven't had the kids going there, but like before COVID, how many people do you have usually training there?
Well, the kids group is maybe 25, 30 kids. And also the big one is the same. So maybe 50, 60 people. From there... maybe 20, 25 are the real fighters that go to competition and fight.
Mm-hmm. So it's a heavily competitive gym? Like you're mostly training for competition?
Yeah, mostly training. Because we fight in MMA and other sports, so it depends on the competition that is coming, we change the preparation for the sport.
Nice. Very nice.
Yeah.
All right, Ivan, thanks for coming on the podcast today. So you said you'd started training Sambo at age, what, 14?
Yeah, 14.
Yeah. So when did you start training Judo?
Well, it's basically we are one team and our coach is taking it to competition. It doesn't matter what kind of competition. If you did this month, you can fight in Sambo. Next month, you can fight in Judo. So basically it was both sports come together,
mm-hmm.
not separate some one of the.
I see. Okay. That kind of reminds me in the early days, you see pictures of the Gracies like Hickson and Holes Gracie. They would train Sambo as well and the Machados because there was no jiu-jitsu tournaments when they came to America or whatever, or even in Brazil still. So it's interesting. What would you say are the similarities between Sambo, Judo, and BJJ?
Well, I think now, this time, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, if we can talk in competition level styles, it's very different, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu now. I don't know what going on there, but they have to change something. Because old days of, if you watch tournaments from the old days, you see a lot of difference, including a lot of takedowns, more aggressive game, more trying to submit somebody, not so for the points, for the advantage.
Yeah.
So basically, I think Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu has to go a little bit back to the roots, how it starts. Not so for the advantage, for the point, something like this. Mm-hmm. Like a double guard pull or something like this.
Mm-hmm.
If you watch the competition, you see the heavyweight, they fight a lot from the stand-up position. But the low rates, they fight like bearing ball, something like this. So
yeah.
In the one tournament, you can see two types of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, I think.
Mm-hmm.
They have to think something, because it's not good. If you don't have connection with Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, if you watch the competition, you can see what's going on. You just two guys sitting on the ground. I don't know. The rules have to change, I think. They have to be more attractive.
Yeah. That was my criticism of judo. I remember when I started jiu-jitsu. Brazilian jiu-jitsu, that's when they had changed those rules in judo. They excited some friends who trained judo, and then they're like, you can't grab the pants. And I'm like, well, why not? You know, because wrestlers from France are beating these guys. I'm like, well, so instead of adapting your techniques, making them better, you just eliminate that. That doesn't help your martial
exactly.
art.
Exactly. Yes, the same thing. My last competition, judo was just, they changed the rules in maybe 15 seconds to when we start Randori, they did make a disqualification on me because of I touched the pants. So.
Mm-hmm.
So they do this for the Russian Republic, something like wrestlers, that they go for the double leg, single leg, something like this.
Isn't it one of the differences, I think, in Sambo, is there any chokes?
No, only in combat Sambo have chokes.
Okay.
In Sambo, they have arm bars and foot locks.
Yeah.
But no chokes. So in Jiu-Jitsu, we have chokes, but we don't have leg locks. So this is a different thing, yeah.
Yeah, they ban.
But in combat Sambo, we have everything, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so did you incorporate elements of your Sambo and Judo and blend them into your Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu when you started training BJJ?
When somebody come to my gym, they first have to know how to make throws, Seoi Nage, Kataguruma, something like this. We can start directly on the ground. For me, one Brazilian fighter, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu fighter, has to be good in Judo, Sambo. Okay, not good, but he has to know what to do if you go to the wrestling class or Judo classes or something like this.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, we forget that Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu actually is a martial art, not a sport.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the academies here and I think all over the world, they focus only on the sport Jiu-Jitsu.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true, because like I'll meet purple belts and they're like, oh, you need to train wrestling. And I'm like, why? Go for takedowns. I'm like, your coach doesn't teach you takedowns. Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu has takedowns. If you look at Hicks and Gracie, you look at any, if you watch Hoist Gracie in the first four UFCs, he's doing takedowns. He's not pulling guard. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a Hoyler Gracie, if you watch those challenge matches, they have takedowns. If you look at Helio Gracie's book, there's takedowns. Helio Gracie, all these guys, they take downs. And then I think in the 90s, when they started changing the rules in the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu tournaments, you start seeing the elimination. And in the late 90s.
Yes, exactly.
In the early 90s, you definitely see takedowns still. So
that's the big problem, I think, now. Because how do you say that the purple belt, they don't know how to do poison, to do throwing and throwing nage, something like this. Yeah.
It's funny. Yeah, when I was coming up, I think, you know, Ricardo Almeida, the UFC fighter?
Yeah.
He said that I was reading an interview. I think it was in Gracie Mag. I think I was probably when I was a purple belt or blue belt. And he said there are black belts who are purple belts in takedowns. And I was like, that's ridiculous, right? And the same argument goes, because I've been training leg locks since white belt. Because
really?
Yeah. And so like when it became an issue, then I learned, I was like, oh, you telling me there's black belts who are white belts at leg locks. That's crazy to me.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody is focused now on the foot locks, leg locks that can do it, but nobody take care that not everybody can throw. Yeah.
I have a question. I have a question for you, both of you, actually. So do you think that maybe, because, you know, you guys are black belts, both of you. I'm the white belt. I don't know anything. The question is, do you think that the neglect of takedowns in modern day BJJ could also be a consequence of maybe, you know, the IBJJF rules and things like that, trying to distinguish jiu-jitsu from judo as a sport? Or like, do you think it's intentional? Like,
no, it's not the IBJJF, because when you take the IBJJF rules webinar, right? If you go to their YouTube account and they have all these videos on the rules, the rules all emphasize the traditional takedown, pass the guard, submit. It's not the IBJJF, it's the athletes and their coaches clearly gaming the rules. They're using the rules to get around this rather than
to get the medals. Yeah.
Yeah.
Using the rules. Yeah. Yes. They're using the rules.
Yeah.
I was in a European Open here, and one of the competition from the other team tell me how is the. I asked him how is the fight going, and he said, "I was fighting for the advantage." I'll say, "How do you fight for advantage? How is this impossible to fight for advantage? How you do this physically, mentally? How you do fighting for advantage?" Mm-hmm. When I go on the tatami, I want submission. I don't want advantage. How you want advantage?
Mm-hmm.
So basically, how do you say they adapt for the rules, the games? I think.
Do you see the future evolution of BJJ incorporating other styles? If your coach isn't teaching you Gracie jiu-jitsu takedowns, and you're going to have to learn takedowns from somewhere else, right?
Yeah. You have to learn from somewhere else. But now they let heel hooks in the black belt, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And this is kind of improve for the Brazilian jiu-jitsu, because there is other guys that say IBJJF sucks because they don't allow heel hooks. But actually, I think it's more dangerous to let go this heel hook in the competition. I don't know how it's going now, because I think there is a world tournament now in IBJJF, no gi.
Yeah, they let the brown and black belts adults, but not the masters.
I don't know how many injury knees have there, man.
I don't think there's any. I watched the Pan Ams when they did it, and there's heel hooks everywhere.
Injuries, no.
Not that I know.
I didn't watch them. I watched some only in a full graphic, something like this.
Yeah.
So it's so interesting for me to see how many injuries, is there too many, something like this. Is this a reflection of the sport himself?
Mm-hmm. Well, I know a couple of years ago, pre-COVID, there was a tournament in Toronto, a Grappling Industries, and they allow leg locks at lower belts. And apparently there was a lot of leg injuries at that tournament. But I think that's because you're letting people whose coaches have for years not taught them anything. Because I have only ever had one injury from a leg lock, and it's from a toe hold. And the toe hold is allowed under IBJJF rules, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've never been injured from heel hooks, from white to black belt. I've been way more injured from arm bars or from chokes in the neck or cranks, right? But when it comes to leg locks, I've always gone really hard, because that's, you need to get that pressure, like that feel for a real fight, right? I've never been hurt from those.
Yeah. I think if you like the brown and black belt, you know what power weapon is, heel hook, something like this, so you respect them.
Yeah.
If you are lower belt, you think I can escape from this, and then happen the injuries. And you think you can escape something like this, rolling on the opposite direction or something like this.
Yeah.
Do you think that, just going back a little bit to the takedowns, the conversation we were having as well, because we're talking about injuries, I know there are some instructors, not all, but some instructors, they have this idea that takedowns have a higher risk of injury, right? And so they tend to shy away from them. Like I have, for example, I have two, let's say two black belt instructors in my gym, right? One teaches takedowns, no problem. He likes them, no issue, right? The other one shies away from it and prefers to pull guard because he believes from his experience that, doing takedowns is dangerous and it will get, like in sport jujitsu he's talking about, right? You can get more injuries, and so he doesn't like teaching them. So do you think that's a factor?
I think injuries happen when, for me, it's very fretful to training takedowns with new guys. Mm-hmm. I can train takedowns with guys who competition, maybe brown, purple, even a blue belt, because they know how to throw you. If you look, when I started training sambo, 1 month, we training on the ground and just slap with the hands on the tatami. Man. So 1 month, just left hand, right hand, left hand, right, just to know how to fall down, how to throw people, how to, when they, you throw him, to pull him a little bit, the hand, not with the whole weight to come to the ground. So if you train with, I don't know how to explain this, because it depends on the person mm-hmm. with who you train takedowns. Mm-hmm. Some guys are very hard. Some guys are more nicely. They understand what happened. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, I think this is also the case. Like when you go to competition, you assume that the other guy, you don't know who you're going to fight sometimes, right? And you assume mm-hmm. the other guy knows or has experience, but it's not always the case, right? So you can have even higher belts. Maybe, like you guys said, they haven't trained takedowns that well. So they could be a black belt, but be like a blue belt in takedowns, right? And they're inexperienced, and so that makes them dangerous in takedowns, especially if they're bigger guys, if they're slamming the guy down on the mat, things like that. So I think that's where, at least the instructor that I was talking to, where he's you don't know who you're dealing with. Like when you're dealing with your guys in the club, you trust them.
You know them, yes.
You know them. Or maybe you know other guys from other clubs that you see them on the circuit, and who they are and if they're good or not, right? But you don't always know that. Maybe that's where they're coming from, right? So as far as, because I've seen guys get hurt from takedowns because, like you said, they didn't know how to do it, or the guy that they were, the other person didn't know how to do it properly. I've seen them pop their ribs. I've seen them do a lot of stuff, right? So I guess it depends on the instructor.
Yeah.
So coming up to kind of our final thoughts, Ivan, thank you so much for so far kind of giving us a little bit of your background, kind of growing up in Bulgaria and your experience. Just to kind of finish off the thoughts, you have the benefit of having a sambo background, a judo background, and then training jiu-jitsu. I know you mentioned earlier that you expect or you like your students when they come to the club, to your club, to kind of know, to learn the fundamentals of some sambo. Is that mandatory in your club?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So in the future, like I guess since we're talking about, how much does sambo and judo, like other styles kind of affect the future of BJJ, do you think it stops there? Like, or do you think that maybe in the future, other styles too, that are kind of somewhat compatible, might make their way into influencing jiu-jitsu, like for example, Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Like for example, we once interviewed a guy who was transitioning from Japanese jiu-jitsu, right, into Brazilian mm-hmm. jiu-jitsu, right, and how that kind of affected his style and things like that. Other people train slightly other different styles that are kind of from other countries. Do you think that's appropriate that they're gonna or not appropriate, but in your opinion, do you think that in the future there's going to be more influence from other styles that are compatible, that's going to evolve BJJ? Or do you think that BJJ should kind of stay like classic jiu-jitsu, should stay the way it is, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, without incorporating these other styles?
I don't know, man. Maybe, Brazilian jiu-jitsu evolved. So if you look back 15 years in the head, if you watch the competition of over there, there is a whole different game from the this now on. So yes. Basically, I think that IBJJF especially have to change something in the rules so it's all open for the other sports to come in, because I fight with wrestlers. They are very tough guys. Mm-hmm. Especially here in Bulgaria, we have very tough wrestlers. And also Nevaza, like you said, Japanese jiu-jitsu, they have also good background. They know how to throw. They almost familiar with the submission. So I don't know, maybe have to change a little bit in Brazilian jiu-jitsu, especially for competition. Mm-hmm. They have to change it. And also we as a coach have to change a little bit how to I don't know how to say it, how to get people from the street and start from the basic, not for the ground directly. We have to start for the basic jiu-jitsu, like all-star jiu-jitsu. After that is when they know how to throw, when they know how to protect themselves, they can go to compete. Mm-hmm. Like I said, good fighters have to be comfortable in a wrestling gym and a judo gym and sambo gym, if you like. Mm-hmm. Because competition jiu-jitsu is not real jiu-jitsu, let's say that way.
It's not realistic in the real world. It's not self-defense.
Of course, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Of course. You're not going to be pulling a Barambolo on the hard concrete outside instead of a club. Maybe somebody. It would be interesting to see. But
yeah.
But probably not, yeah. Uh-huh. Well, Father Thomas, any final thoughts on that one? Because I know we were discussing this earlier too, like as far as I know you're I don't want to paraphrase what you've told me in the past, but I know that you're of the mind that pretty much everything you really need already exists in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. It's just coaches are not teaching it properly, like so I don't know, what are your thoughts on what I asked Ivan?
I just think that people, you just need to know which technique to use at which time, right? Mm-hmm. You know, use the right tool for the
right guy.
Yeah, and hopefully your coach is teaching you all those tools because they're all there, right?
Yeah.
Well, on that note, we thank you, Ivan, for coming on the show. It was very, very nice to talk with you. We wish you continued success since you're still training and everything is open for you guys. and success in your upcoming. You have an upcoming match coming competition.
Yes, next week we have ADCC Open, Bulgaria Open.
Oh, nice.
So it's going to be, yeah.
Nice. So we'll try to follow that. Are you still competing or just your students?
No, last year I finished competing. I have an injury on my neck and I have to protect myself. For my sons, yeah.
Sure. Well, you'll be going with your students?
Yeah, I go there. Yeah.
Nice.
Hopefully get the first place.
Well, I hope so. I hope your team does well, and we'll try to follow on the internet somehow.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you. Thank you so much for your time, and hopefully we'll be able to talk to you sometime in the future.
Yeah, I hope. Thank you very much, guys.
Take care. Yeah.
You have been listening to The Fighting Priests, an independent podcast. Please follow us on Facebook and Instagram and let us know your thoughts. We'd love to hear from you. Till next time, keep training the body and the soul. God bless.